Psalm 46. To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come and behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Trust the Lord will bless this reading of the word to our hearts, and let us just bow briefly and ask for his help. Our eternal heavenly Father, we do take this time to bow in thy presence and to ask in the name of our Lord Jesus that you would help us this night as we seek to meditate upon your truth, that you would open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. O Lord, that you would take thy word and that you would use it as thou hast said that it is a sword, Lord, that you would use it to pierce our hearts, Lord, to stir us to greater faith, greater beholding of the truth of God. Lord, we pray that you would help us to worship tonight. Help us to seek your face. Lord, we've come here. You know how many of us are here and we're weary in our flesh. And we need your help, Lord. We need you to quicken us. We need you to give us energy that we could engage ourselves in the worship of God. So, Lord, we ask for thy help and the filling of thy spirit in myself and everyone here who will hear this word. We ask that you will quicken us, Lord, by your truth. Our souls cleave to the dust. Quicken us according unto thy word. For we ask thee in Christ's name. Amen. Well, the psalm before you has been a psalm of great comfort and encouragement for the people of God throughout the ages. The man of God, Martin Luther, was one who greatly appreciated this psalm. It is said that he would often gather his companions to sing it when they were in the furnace of persecution for the sake of Christ. They would gather around and sing this psalm to God, trusting that he would honor his word. And this psalm is about God being the refuge, the shelter of his people. And it reminds us of that great text in Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. It is a psalm that is intended to calm the soul and comfort the heart in the midst of great uncertainty. It is intended to set the believer's thoughts on things above in order that they may overcome the things on this earth. By the end of this psalm, it is intended that the reader's heart will be at ease, their soul at ease, their nerves calmed, and their heart rejoicing, rejoicing that God is their refuge. And therefore, they will not fear. Whatever uncertainty you may be facing, or storm you may be weathering this evening, I trust that the Spirit of God will use this psalm to bring you into the eye of the storm and will enable you to be still and know that the Lord, He is God. I want to speak to you, therefore, from this psalm about our refuge. Our refuge. The first thing I want you to see from this psalm is that our refuge is God. Our refuge is God. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. If you miss this, the beginning of this psalm, if you miss this, then you will miss the focus of the entire psalm. This psalm starts here. It pauses here in the middle, around the middle in verse 7, and it ends here. Verse 1, God is our refuge. Verse 7, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Verse 11, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Beginning, middle, and end. This is where we have to draw our minds as we look at this psalm. And so immediately, in this psalm, the reader is met with the reality that the sovereign, immortal, immutable, and only wise God is our refuge. Not man, whose life is like a vapor that passeth away, but God, whose existence knows no beginning, whose power knows no bounds, and whose wisdom knows none superior. He is the one of whom it is said by Daniel, no man can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? He is the one who holds our times in his hands and is in control of every circumstance we face. So praise the Lord for that reality. As we begin to look at this psalm, just praise the Lord in your heart right now that the refuge of the believer is not limited to a tangible place on earth, but is rather the infinite God of heaven, of whom Moses did write in Psalm 90, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Moses recognized the same thing. The same thing was revealed to him. Our dwelling place in all generations. And so that's the first thing. Our refuge is God. But the second thing I want you to see from this psalm is that God is our refuge at all times. God is our refuge at all times. We see that in verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Do you see the repetition there? Though this is happening, though this is happening, though that is happening. At all times, He is our refuge. And so there is no time nor circumstance for those who belong to Christ when God is not their refuge. The Lord says that He is our refuge. He is a present help in times of trouble. He's there in the midst. He's not afar off from the believer. But in all times and in all circumstances, in all the midst of this chaotic scene that's being painted here by the psalmist, God is there. He's a present help in times of trouble. And the reality that God is our present refuge is the basis for the statement in verse 2. Why there should be this resolve to not fear in the face of the scariest scenes of seeming chaos. The psalmist says, because God is our refuge, therefore will not we fear. We will not fear because He is our refuge and He is over all these things that are happening in verses 2 and 3. The scene that is being depicted by this language is one of utter helplessness on our part. You try to put yourself there, it's hard to imagine the things that are being described here. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, the waters roaring and raging be troubled, the mountains shaking with the swelling thereof, it's as if the foundations of the earth are shaking under you. And you have nowhere to stand. You have nothing to hold on to. And yet the psalmist says, in the midst of all of that, God is still our refuge. And that is the point. That even in those times where the believer, to them it appears that everything is out of control and we are absolutely helpless, it is then that we must realize that God is our refuge when no one else can be. And remember this. We have to remember this. When you are looking at situations in your life or in the lives of others in the church that seem to be chaotic and disastrous and they're hard and we don't understand, it is in the midst of those times when you feel like your feet are slipping out from under you. And the waves seem to be crashing upon your head. God is still your refuge at all times. And that is the second thing I want you to see. The third thing I want you to see from this psalm is that God is our refuge against all enemies. Not only at all times, but against all enemies. Verses 4 through 7. We have the statement, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And so you have this picture here of this city. This city. And in contrast to the raging oceans of verses 2 and 3, verse 4 begins with the picture of God providing His city with a peaceful river of divine blessing that makes His people glad. And this imagery is intended to point the reader to God's caring ownership of the city that is His. It is His city. It is the city of God. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. It's the place where God is tabernacling among His people. And does not that language in this psalm, does not that point us to Christ Himself? Christ, of whom it is said in John 1:14 that He became flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us. So we have here this picture of this city, this dwelling place of God. And in Christ, God dwells among His people. And He is in the midst of her. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. So you see, it is God, it is Christ that is the God who is dwelling among His people as their King and protector from enemies, without and within, foreign and domestic, physical and spiritual. That's what he says here in verse 6. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. They're moved and they're raging against the city that God claims is His. That's the point. That's the emphasis there. There's this city that God dwells in the midst of. It's the city that He protects. He takes ownership of it. And the heathen are raging against it. The kingdoms are moved with rage against God's people, against that which God takes ownership of because they hate God, because they're against God, because they want to do everything they can in their feeble efforts to try and cause offense to God. And yet, God is in the midst of her. And so no matter what they do, no matter how hard they try, their efforts won't avail to anything. Christ told us in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He is with us always. He is constantly dwelling in our midst, constantly in control, constantly watching over us. And so when you feel like nobody else is with you, Christ is with you. Never forget that. Never let the devil lie to you and say that he's not with you. He's with you. I am with you always. And there is no enemy. There is not one single enemy that is outside of his sovereign control. God gives us his word in verse 5 that his people shall not be moved. He says that they will have his help readily available. That's the sense of that phrase there, and that right early. That right early. You might have a marginal reading that says, when the morning appeareth. At the beginning of the day, from sun up to sundown, his help is readily available for the child of God, for those who belong to Christ. Though the heathen rage and the kingdoms of the earth are moved against the Lord's people, a mere utterance. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. A mere utterance from the Almighty will utterly destroy all the opposition. And note the repetition in verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The same truth as verse 1 repeated, but with the addition that this God is the Lord of hosts. He is the sovereign over all armies. He is in control of all of them. Not one of them is outside of his dominion. And this is to assure you and I. This is to assure the reader, the singer of this psalm, of the Lord's complete power over all foes, actual and potential. Those you're facing now and those you may face one day, it matters not who they are. They're under his control. That is the third thing. The fourth thing I want you to see from this psalm is that God is our refuge because he is God. God is our refuge because he is God. Verses 8 through 11. You see, the psalmist in verse 8 has anticipated an objection from the reader. And so he begins verse 8 by inviting the reader to come and behold or consider the works of the Lord. Verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. It is as if the psalmist said, if you doubt the ability of the Lord to be your refuge, then come and view the Lord's resume as if he needed one. He is the sovereign king of the entire universe. And yet the psalmist, the Spirit of God through the psalmist, condescending to our weakness, says, come, come and behold the works of the Lord. And I want us to behold one of those works. Turn to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. This is just one example of the works of the Lord. But it's a foundational one. And it's one that would stand the test of time throughout the rest of Scripture. Exodus 14, we'll read from verse 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the seaside beside Pihahiroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not. Stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Think of the things that are going on in this portion of Scripture in light of the psalm we're looking at. You see, I wanted you to read verse 8 because the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh and the Egyptians to cause them to pursue after the Israelites. And it was the Lord that told the children of Israel to encamp by Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon. So He put them there. And He hardened the heart of the Egyptians to pursue after them. He was in control of the entire situation. The whole thing orchestrated by Him. To what end? To show His glory. To manifest His power upon the Egyptians and upon Pharaoh. And think of how the Israelites must have felt in verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. Behold, the Egyptians marched after them. Can you imagine? I can't. Can you imagine being there with your children, your wife as a father, and this host just pursuing after you, intent on harming you, dragging you back to Egypt, making your slavery worse than it's ever been. It was a situation in which they felt utterly helpless. The Red Sea against their back. Nothing but an Egyptian host coming after them. And yet, what was the Lord's word to Moses for them? Fear ye not. Stand still. Hardly a time when you would want to stand still. But stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And turn back to Psalm 46. That is just one example. But survey your Bible, this beautiful book that God has given us, and you will find example after example of God being the refuge of His people. Time and time again, God is the one who is always in control. As verse 9 says, He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. Meaning there's no place in the earth where He doesn't make wars to cease. He's over it all. He makes wars to cease. He breaks the bows, cuts the spears, and burns the chariots of His enemies. All of their instruments of warfare that symbolize their power are as nothing before Him. He is God Almighty. They are mere creatures. And how dare we, for one moment, think that He is not able to be our refuge against them. But that is why He has given us this psalm. He knows our frame. and how weak we are. And He is merciful and gives us this psalm. That is why the command comes in the midst of the temptation to be afraid and run and hide. The command comes in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know. Know it. And that idea of that word is an intimate acquaintance with this. It's not just a fact in your head, but it is becoming acquainted with this knowledge that He is God. Be still and know that I am God. We need to dwell on that, is the point. It's something that each one of us need to take with us and think upon it, dwell upon it, pray over it. He's God. And all the ramifications that brings. When you think of the Scriptures and everything that they teach about God, everything that this psalm says about God, all that it reveals about who He is, be still and know that I am God. And I love the way the psalmist, by the Holy Spirit, ends the psalm. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He's with us. He's with us this very night. If you're a blood-bought child of God, He's with you this very moment. He's with you. I'd like to bring before you, before we come to prayer, two applications from this text. Because the question comes at the end of this psalm. How do I take refuge in God? He is my refuge. I see that laid out clearly here. But how do I take refuge in Him? Two things that I want you to take note of. The first is that we take refuge in God by faith. Take refuge in God by faith. So simple. So simple that you would miss it. Because we are so full of unbelief. We're so slow to believe what God has said. And yet that is the way that He intends for us to take refuge in Him. Take refuge in God by faith. By faith in what God has said. Three times He says in this psalm, three times, our refuge. It's like in case you missed it the first time, in case you missed it the second time, He gives us three times, I am your refuge. Twice, the Lord of hosts, that name is used. In case you missed it the first time, the Lord of hosts is with us. God intends for us to take that and acknowledge that repetition. He's putting it before us so that it gets glued into our head and into our heart. I am your refuge. It's by faith in what God has said. It's by faith in what God has done. We take refuge in Him by faith in what He has done. That is the point of verses 8 and 9, is it not? As we read in Exodus 14, as the Israelites would look back to that. Well, if He can do that, what can He not do? And surely as you look back over your life, some of you here have been saved longer than I've been alive. And surely you can look back on your years and you can see God's gracious hand guiding you, being your refuge, undertaking for you, and guarding you all along the way to this very hour. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He hath made in the earth. Who else does what verse 9 says? No one else. No one else makes wars to cease like the Lord. No one else breaks the bow and cuts the spear and burns the chariot in the fire like He does. And He uses means to do it sometimes. But He does it. And He does it in such a way that no one else can match His power. And so as you sit here tonight, behold the works of the Lord in your own life and meditate upon them and know that He's brought you thus far and He will see you through to the end. It's also by faith in who God is. We take refuge in God by faith in who He is. Be still and know that I am God. The second thing I want you to take away from this. You take refuge in God by faith. But you also take refuge in God by prayer. And that is why we are here tonight. Take refuge in God by prayer. And there is an abundance of things in this psalm for us to pray over. And I'd like to just lay some of them out before you. And the first is that you would pray that God would prove or reprove His Word to you tonight. You see, in verse 1, God says, He is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He says in verse 5 that He will help His people right early. We'll bring that before the Lord tonight. If you don't need it yourself, there's somebody else in this church that needs it, surely. They need God to prove this Word to them afresh. They need God to show them and manifest to them that He really is their refuge and that He really is present in their trouble. The second thing is to pray. Pray that God would protect His church from the enemies within and without that are seeking her destruction. Bring that before the Lord. He says to us in this psalm that He is in the midst of her. Verse 5, she shall not be moved. And surely as you look around and as I look around, you see the heathen raging. You see the kingdoms of man trying to advance against God's kingdom. And God has furnished us in this psalm with a promise that He is in the midst, that He will help right early. And we need to pray that God would manifest that help to us, that He would show His hand and stifle the attacks of our enemies. The third matter for prayer is that pray that God would help you to be still in the midst of the turmoil that you might be facing or will be facing. And just in the midst of this world that is so full of distractions and so full of the devil's lies, be still and focus your thoughts upon Him and His sovereignty. We need God's help to do that. We are weak in and of ourselves. And we need the Spirit of God to help us to be still and know that He is God. And the final matter for prayer. Pray that God would verify His Word and exalt Himself above the heathen. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Let us bring that before the Lord tonight. And let us ask Him to manifest that before us. Let us ask Him, let us plead with Him to show Himself mighty in the earth, to exalt Himself among the heathen, to exalt Himself in the earth through the preaching of the Word of God, through the advance of the gospel, through the bringing in of souls into the kingdom of Christ. Lord, exalt Yourself as You have said in Your Word. These are matters that we need to bring before God. Each one of us need to take refuge in Him by faith. And we need to take refuge in Him by prayer. We need to live in that hymn we sung at the beginning. A sovereign protector have I, unseen, yet unchangeably. He is present with us, never absent from us, forever at hand, almighty to rule and command. Let us go to prayer. Let us seek the Lord.